What I'm going to be talking about today is demand response programs available in the ERCOT market, and these are specific programs for the customers in Texas in the ERCOT market. The Electric Reliability Council of Texas. We'll talk about what that area consists of. We'll talk about just what is demand response. We'll talk about why is it needed? Why are these programs offered? Who can participate? And we'll talk about some of the incentives that customers can earn during these demand response times. First of all, ERCOT stands for Electric Reliability Council of Texas. It's the grid operator for the majority of the state. About 85% of the energy used in Texas is in the ERCOT area. So ERCOT does not include El Paso, most of the panhandle of Texas, and some portions of Deep East Texas. So it really covers your major metropolitan areas and a lot of rural areas too. It involves investor-owned utilities. It involves or it includes municipals and electric co-ops. So we'll see which programs are offered from each. ERCOT, it schedules power throughout the state. It manages the grid. And it also, in Texas, we have a deregulated electric market in the investor-owned areas of Texas. And they manage the transactions that happen between the retail electric provider and the customer. So ERCOT's a pretty big animal. Deregulation began in 2002, and ERCOT before that had maybe 10 or 15 employees, and right now ERCOT has nearly 1,000. So they handle a lot of business in the state. So what really is demand response? Well, basically, demand response is either the electric grid operator, ERCOT, or the distribution company asking the customer to reduce their load or shut off whatever load that they can during critical periods of time. And these critical periods of time could be a time where the grid's in danger of collapsing, and that could be because the grid has lost a transmission line somewhere in the state that's transporting a lot of power, or it could be a high demand time like during the summer or maybe a real cold time during the winter, and you've got some power plants that have tripped offline, and so you've got to do something real quick to save your system. So ERCOT's come very close to that a few times. In fact, if you remember February 2nd, 2011, a big cold front came down, and they had rolling blackouts in the majority of the state for nearly a full day. So those customers that were on demand response programs at that time were asked to reduce their load. And then you have pricing signals. In the ERCOT grid, with competition, you've got pricing of power on the balancing market, which we'll talk about after a while, but that power can be very expensive in those critical times. Give you a little background of where we've been in Texas on the ERCOT grid as far as the amount of power used over a period of time. As you can see in 2001, the demand in Texas, and these were at the peak times, generally around August, was a little over 53,000 megawatts. And in 2011, the ERCOT grid peaked out at nearly 69,000 megawatts. So that's a 25% increase over 10 years, which is very significant. And with a lot of different industries in Texas coming online, we've got the Eagle Ford in South Texas, and we've got a lot of oil field activity in West Texas. That number is just going to grow, plus with your usual economic growth in the state. But along with that comes, you've got to have new generation facilities come online, and that's going to be a problem here because you've got low electricity prices. And with this low prices, you have generators that there's no incentive for them to build power plants. They're not going to make any money on low prices. So they've got to see some help with either industry, the PUC, to build more power plants. And then also with the EPA and how they're cracking down on coal plants, you've got a lot of generators that are going to be phasing out their coal plants here over the next several years. So you've got to make up for that lost load. So really, there's a lot of issues with generation. And ERCOT likes to see about a 13.75% reserve capacity margin. That means that they like to see standby power of 13% in the future. And as you can see, when you go out to 2022, you have barely 2% reserve capacity out there. So, and these numbers are right off of ERCOT's website. So you've got some real issues on power generation in the future. Now, I don't think that that's going to stay out there at those levels. You're going to see more generation come online, but they've got to have some incentive to bring power plants online. Now, another incentive is to increase the what's called the system-wide offer cap, and that's a real-time price on power. Up through this last summer, the price was $3,000 a megawatt, and this year it's been increased to $4,500 a megawatt. And then they're projecting that by 2015 it'll be $7,500. So that's hopefully will help generators start building some more power generation plants. So we'll see if that helps. Just to give you an idea, does power really get to $3,000 a megawatt? Well, yes, it does. Back in early August of 2011, the average temperature in the state at that time was probably 109, 110 degrees, if you remember that time. And every day just compounded on the previous day in early August. And on August 4th here, starting around 2 o'clock, the real-time price went to $3,000, the max, till 5 o'clock or so. So we had a time period where power was really tight and reserve capacity was really low, so that increased the real-time market. And then during August of 2011, we had basically more than 13 hours over, at $3,000, the system-wide offer cap maximum price. This is a graph of of the load during that time period. As you can see, on August 2nd and 3rd, the ERCOT load went up very steadily and didn't have any issues on the system. But by the 4th, August 4th, those generation plants that were peaking online were just at their breaking point. So we started having a lot of power plants that started dropping offline. As you can see, around 2 o'clock on the 4th, the ERCOT grid started some demand response. And you can see that that red line started leveling out. And so they basically were calling up customers and telling them, hey, you need to drop your load. And so that's what happened. And so this sort of shows you the impact of demand response programs when needed. It shows you that the grid does respond, and you don't have the peaks like you could have had that day. So I'm going to talk about three programs that are available to cotton ginners in the ERCOT grid. Deals with electric distribution companies, retail electric providers, some of the things that they're going to be offering this year, and ERCOT 4CP avoidance. Load management programs are basically offered by the distribution company, and they are basically programs where the distribution company will give money to the ginner for a certain amount of money per kW reduced, and during the months of August and September. Now, they're going to be calling these only during emergency periods that ERCOT identifies, and so that's a good thing. They just won't be able to do it when they want to, but ERCOT will have to tell them. The time period is business days from 1 through to 7 p.m., and you could be asked to reduce your load up to 4 hours. And the programs are, notification-wise, anywhere from 1/2 hour to an hour before you are asked to reduce your load. And they do this by text messaging or phone calls or emails. So they set up everything beforehand, and you get a feel for how you're going to do it and understand exactly what's required of you. And they'll pay you $20 per reduced KW. So it could be some fairly significant dollars. This year, or last year in 2012, we had GENS participate in the load management programs with AEP Texas in South Texas and CenterPoint Energy in Houston. And you can see the results were pretty good. We had 12 GENS that participated in AEP Texas, and they had one curtailment for 1 hour. And each GEN earned an average of around $8,700, which was pretty good. CenterPoint Energy was a little bit more. We had the GENs a little bit larger that curtailed. They were required to be off the grid for 3 hours instead of one, and they were given a half-hour notice. And they earned an average of around $13,300. So pretty good response from GENers in these two areas. Now, real-time pricing signals are when you have a retail electric contract, and if that retailer will allow you to reduce your load when the electricity is very high. And we've got about 40 GENs eligible for this program, and these are GENs that are with Zero Energy, that is the retail electric provider. And they have agreed to share the real-time pricing savings or real-time price on the market if you shut down your GEN at a particular time. So this could be pretty good revenue for the GENer. If you have a megawatt GEN that shuts down for an hour, then they're looking at around $2,200 for 1 hour's being off the grid. This program hasn't happened yet, but it's going to be offered to GENers this year in 2013. And for CP avoidance, basically it's a distribution fee that is charged to customers, and it looks at the demand that they are contributing to the ERCOT peak for each month, June through September. So I've been working with this program with GENers for the last 7 years, and have got GENers really used to shutting down at particular times when the ERCOT peak is going to be at its highest level during the month. So work with customers on that. They save around $2.30 per avoided 4CP, and basically they shut down maybe around three times a month. And these time periods are fairly easy to predict. Basically, it's going to be in the hottest time of the month, and it's going to be several days in a row. So it's pretty much going to be a time where the GENer understands that, hey, this week is going to be a hot week. It's probably going to be the ERCOT peak, and then they get their GEN scheduled to shut down at these times between, say, 3:30 and 5:15 p.m. And so a GEN that's like 1,200 kW, they can see annual savings of at least $16,500. And if their GENing season begins in July, it would even be more, probably be more toward the $30,000 range. So this is a program that gets a lot of participation during the year. So give some comparisons on what demand response participation would mean to an average GENer in this area. If we have a GEN that's 1,200 kW, uses around 500,000 kilowatt hours a month, and has a 5 cents per kilowatt hour energy charge, and it doesn't include delivery costs, we see those numbers at the bottom. Now, the totals at the bottom do include delivery costs from the electric utility. So in AEP Texas, they're looking at around $108,000 a year, and CenterPoint Energy about $92,000. And this is for an average two-month GENing run. So if we look at our load management program, and these numbers I got from this past year, they had an hour requested time in AEP Texas and 3 hours in CenterPoint Energy. And real-time pricing, what I did is I assumed a five-hour time period that the real-time market was at $4,500. And then also, and that would be for 5 hours time period. And then the 4CP, about 9 hours total. And so we're looking at total incentives of around $36,000 for AEP Texas for 15 hours off the grid, and CenterPoint Energy about $43,000, and that's for 17 hours. So you can see the savings is significant. Now these numbers are approximate numbers. They could be higher, they could be lower, depending on just how the grid operates that year. But those numbers are real, and we have generators right now that are seeing not quite that much savings just based on load management and 4CP. So the real-time pricing incentives, demand response, I think will be an added benefit this year. So in summary, cotton gins and the ERCOT market that run during the summer can see pretty good savings if they participate in demand response programs. And communication and planning is a key. You just can't go into these programs and say we're going to participate and we'll think about it. You've got to really plan out how you're going to operate your gen. You've got to get really a good understanding of demand response programs and personnel with ERCOT and with the distribution companies on how they expect you to operate. And then if you're in another area other than competitive areas in Texas or any other place in the southern U.S., it'd probably be a good idea to talk to your electric utility company to see if they do have any demand response programs available. And even if they aren't geared toward cotton gins, that would be a good time to talk to them saying, hey, you know, I'm running on peak. What can I do to save some money and to help out your utility in keeping costs low for your customers and also helping out your generators and your grid during those peak times? So, any questions? Tom?
I got two bills. First of all, what do the gins do when they do shut down with their labor? And how do they work with that? Maybe somebody else can answer that as well. And then also, in other states, are you familiar with any programs like that?
I'm not really familiar in other states. I do know that in certain electric co-ops in Texas, they do have some demand response programs that they work. I think, Jimmy, you've got Horton County that they do some demand response. Nueces Electric Co-op, also down in the Corpus area, does also. So they do it when it does get hot, when the grid gets to a point where they're wanting to see some capacity reductions, they'll call it. So as far as gen help, genners, I think, have their employees clean up, do some things, Sid?
I guess that first hour, you do a little repair. The second hour, you keep calling him up to ask him when the hell can you start back.
Right. Well, some of the money available is significant. This past year was the first year that we did demand response with Jenner's with the different utilities. And CenterPoint area, there's several gens out there. They called up. I had six gens that were on the program, and only three participated. And every one of those Jenner's, after the utility called them up, they called me. And they said, hey, Bill, is this for real? And I said, yeah, you said you were going to participate in the program and you would get some money for it. And they said, well, how much money am I going to make on this thing? And I said, well, let's see. I looked at the size of their gin. I said, well, you're going to make about $18,000 if you shut down for 3 hours. And he said, I'm shutting down. But believe it or not, I had a couple of gins that, you know, in that West Houston area, they had a bumper year. They didn't want to stop, so they kept on rolling. So it just depends on the ginner. It depends on really how focused they are on, you know, getting some added revenue. And it depends on the season A lot of different variables. I mean, it's not for everybody, but a lot of Jenners do think it's a good deal. Thank y'all very much.